What do you think?
I think we're dead meat. Real dead meat.
You're dead meat! Go ahead and laugh, you guys. If I ever find a little passage of business, you're dead meat.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dead Meat Podcast. This is James A. Janisse.
And I'm Chelsea Rebecca, and we're boyfriend and girlfriend. We like to get scared together.
Yeah, that's right. And today we're filming this podcast to release on my YouTube channel, Dead Meat, of which this podcast is an extension of, as a way to promote this brand new podcast.
Yeah. So, hi, if you're watching this. If you're not, we're waving to the cameras right now.
Yeah, just imagine like my hand in the air, yeah. You know, standard wave.
So this episode is a bonus podcast episode. It's not part of our regular schedule. You're still going to get a Tuesday episode in which we review Wishmaster.
Yeah.
I know. I'm really excited to release that one. But this is a bonus thank you episode because the reception to our first episode was so incredible. I'm honestly overwhelmed by how much people liked it, and it really touched me.
Yeah, it was listened to over 10,000 times.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
We weren't even talking about anything except ourselves. So that's exciting.
Yeah, so we'll see how many people. What if that episode has more listens than the review for the brand new movie, Strangers? Pray at night.
We got a problem.
Also, our cat Lucy is running around crazy in the background.
If you're watching this on YouTube, you might see her run through here. But
yeah,
if you're listening to this, you may be able to hear her. She's really acting out right now because we're not paying attention to her.
We're not paying enough attention to her.
Nope.
All right, so we actually just got back from seeing Strangers Pray at Night.
Oh, did we say we were reviewing that specifically?
Oh, I mentioned it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're doing in today's episode.
We got ahead of ourselves. Yeah, we're reviewing the new Strangers movie that we saw at 10 a.m. this morning.
That's right. Our schedule got kind of messed up, but yeah. That's okay. We woke up and saw some people kill each other.
You know what? I like matinee horror. Because yeah. I think the last time we saw matinee horror was Unfriended.
Unfriended, yep.
That was really fun. We saw that super early in the day. And I don't know, that's a nice way to start the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to start the day.
Get some, some stress adrenaline pumping.
Yeah, so this movie, I feel like, is very jump scare dependent, and that's notoriously something that you're afraid of.
Did you notice I was sitting there with my ears plugged the whole
time? I did notice that, yeah, the whole time.
I had my ears plugged the whole time. I wouldn't have done that if there was someone sitting right next to me or right behind me, because I would feel very judged.
Mm-hmm.
But we were sitting, so the theater we saw it in was the one with the big lounge chairs.
Yeah.
And so we were pretty far away from anyone, so I felt like I was okay to sit there and plug my ears. I think that's the thing that gets me the most about them is the loud sounds.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Because whenever I show like the video only of a jump scare and a kill count, I don't feel the need to warn people.
No, but like but with the sound.
Yeah, with the stranger's kill count.
There's something, yeah. I find that sensation unpleasant and it makes me unable to sit and watch the movie. So if I have my ears plugged, I can kind of, analyze the movie and think more about the movie rather than sitting there bracing myself the whole time.
But you like this movie.
I did. I'm honestly surprised at the seemingly mostly negative reviews it's been getting.
Well, professionally, it definitely has negative reviews. I think it's sitting at a 35% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's a horror movie.
I know. It's a horror movie.
They're
and
pretty.
I forgot, too, that you mentioned this earlier, that the first movie also has kind of cruddy reviews.
I think it's a little higher.
It's
maybe
sitting
in the 50s.
At like a 40-something.
Really?
Yeah.
See, now, so also right off the bat, this is going to be like a full-on review. So
we are spoiling the entire thing.
Spoiling the hell out of it. So if you haven't seen it and you want to see it unspoiled, stop listening to this. Come back, though.
Yeah.
Please come back. Also, if you haven't seen it yet but you're about to, you know what a good primer would be? The Strangers Kill Count, released on my channel last week.
Yeah.
It's a good episode.
Spoilers, The Strangers Pray at Night does not take place in a convent, which would have been really fun.
Oh, like Pray at Night?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
So, yeah, I love the original. I really liked what it did. This is not the original.
No.
And I think that's why, even among horror fans, this is... I mean, the original was also divisive.
It was. I was looking today at the reviews of the original.
Yeah, and some people think it's like a great, slow burn, creepy, unsettling, realistic thing, but I fall into that camp. But like I said during the kill count, I understand if you find it just kind of boring.
I think the other critique people have of it too, which is also... a critique I have of just both the movies as a whole, is it's a little joyless.
Yeah.
And the villains, and which, you know, if you're in the mood for that and you want to be scared proper, little comedic relief, these are the movies for you.
Yeah.
But the villains, the strangers, are not a lot of fun. They're just really scary.
Yeah. And I think a lot of horror fans are probably used to, you know, the big series have villains that you root for, like Freddy, sure. Chucky, Jason, even though he doesn't say anything, people fucking love the guy. And so if you start up the strangers and you're like, who are the killers that I can root? Yeah. No, these guys suck.
They suck. You hate them.
Yeah.
You know?
But like I said, this is not the first movie. It's very, very different.
It is.
Whereas the first movie kind of harkens back to like 70s horror, I feel, with like the quiet,
the
home
Manson
invasion.
Inspiration too.
Definitely. This one's more like an 80s slasher.
For sure.
Yeah.
I definitely notice, and especially one scene in particular that we'll talk about later, but there is like a big 80s kind of
vibe. The whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's popular right now.
We are in the middle of a big 80s nostalgia fest. I blame Drive.
Drive was Drive early on
it.
In that.
You know who else was in Drive? Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
What if we...
in about the same sized role.
I was going to say, what if we bookend the 80s nostalgia movement with... two Christina Hendricks supporting role movies.
Yeah, although she was top billed here, I think.
That's true. Yeah. She's the only one, you know, I think she's the only name.
Like the big name? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was doing the rounds promoting it, I feel like.
That's good.
Whenever I saw, you know, any promo about this, it was all Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
Which I just was really excited to go to a movie and see her.
Mad Men is probably my favorite show of all time.
Yeah,
yours
too.
Yeah,
and Mad Men's really special to us.
Yeah, so Christina Hendricks, huge fan of hers, and it's kind of sad to see her get wiped out so early in this movie. Spoiler,
that's a
but
thing.
But yeah, so it's very 80s. Even the title card, I feel like, was a pretty direct ripoff of Stranger Things, right? With the font.
It was kind of like an 80s, it was all like a Stephen King book cover font.
Yeah, which is what Stranger Things is kind of.
With a swirly red toilet. I don't know what it was. It was like a spirally red thing.
Yeah, but just like the outline font with the serifs. Yeah, there were a lot of things going on in this movie that felt like direct references to other works. Among that, I mean, we got the ending that's like the Texas Chainsaw.
Yes, we
ending.
Both. I think we both kind of looked at each other, like, I see. What
yeah,
we're doing
and then
now.
The music all throughout this is all 80s pop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so 80s. And I don't know. Did you see the trailer for this before?
No.
So the trailer uses "I Think We're Alone Now." I don't know who does that song. Mm-hmm. I probably should, but that wasn't in the movie.
Okay.
But it was just another 80s pop song, so it kind of primed you for all that 80s pop. Right off the bat, there's Kids in America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, should we just start our
full-on review? We'll start going through
So
them.
I took notes in the theater,
oh,
but
these notes are
holy
illegible.
Fuck.
The lights came up, and we both looked at his notebook, and they are, yeah, you can see if you're watching this on
Yeah,
YouTube.
Just like
illegible.
Writing sentences
What did my notes come
out?
I grabbed your notebook at some point and wrote something
you
down.
You wrote a single sentence.
I did. I took one note.
One long take, teen actor.
Wait, what does it look like?
It looks fine, honestly. It's
nice.
Totally legible, so good work there. But I mean, the problem with mine is multiple lines writing over each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you still did it.
I still did what?
You took notes.
I did take notes at 10 in the morning in a theater watching a horror movie. A lot of people in there, way more than
there
I thought
there were so
be.
Many people.
I
it was
be
a
alone.
Fun crowd. Like people were reacting to stuff. And
yeah.
Although one guy was snoring.
What, by the end,
there was a sleepy man in the theater.
Snoring.
He was
also, how many fucking ringtones were going off?
So,
it was like
I thought it was part of the movie.
Yeah.
So many times
it was like someone had a ringtone soundboard in there and would just like whenever there was like a silent moment, would be
that
like,
you didn't think. Yes, there was an ooga ringtone that went off like halfway through.
Yeah, silence your phones for horror movies, people. Outrageous. I mean, for any movie, but especially that. But because of my sloppy-ass notes, I am going to be reading from the Wikipedia article, which has, like, way too detailed of a plot synopsis for a Wikipedia article. Someone should go here and, like, clean this up. Edit this. This doesn't belong.
I'm probably banned from Wikipedia now because for over a day, I think we reached the 24-hour mark. It was like 2 days almost. Yeah. I was listed as the screenwriter for Boss Baby.
The Boss Baby.
Oops, I should know I wrote it. It's a long story. It's because of our other YouTube channel, Practical Folks.
Which is also the reason we have all these drawings behind us,
this
including
is all our
one
banner.
Of shirtless me looking into a mirror right above my head.
But anyway, yada yada, one of our fans made me the screenwriter of The Boss Baby on Wikipedia.
We didn't do it.
It was there for maybe 2 days, but now I think I'm on their most wanted list. I'm a bad actor.
Yeah, you and Stephen Colbert. Pretty sure he's done some Wikipedia editing stunts. All right, so I mean, we start in the trailer park with this older couple who we will learn are Uncle Marv and his wife, and they're going to sleep, and they get woken up by a knock on the door. It's super late. How's that dog not barking?
That seemed weird to me too.
They have this dog who chills there the whole scene.
He's whimpering on the bed.
But like they get murdered.
I know.
And it's the dog just chills there.
Too,
and it's
I
a
think.
German. It's not like a fucking like,
little
I don't know.
Dog. I thought that was
like a Pomeranian.
Too.
That was weird. And then
I don't even mean to nitpick right off the bat, but that is something that stuck out. Like it stuck out to me is why.
Yeah.
Why is this dog there?
Let me give my feelings for the movie up front. I thought it was fine.
I liked it.
I think you liked it a little bit more.
I
than
might
me,
have
maybe.
Liked it more.
The ending won me over from the pool scene onward, which we'll get to. The pool scene's fucking amazing.
It is.
Before that, I was a little on the rocks because there's a lot of moments where these characters are fucking dumb. And I saw people complain about that in regards to the original. And I guess in the original...
When did you think they were dumb in this one? Because it's weird. I'll
list
them.
Really? There's so many.
Okay.
Yeah. It's mostly the kid, the older brother.
I'm sure you'll sway me because there were a few times where I thought, okay, these characters are acting to the top of their intelligence, not acting for plot.
Yeah. I did not feel that way. I mean, right off the bat in this scene, the old lady turns around and there's a stranger in her house. And she's just like, why are you in my house? Like, no scream or anything. It's
like,
super chill.
Why am I house?
Why am I house?
If there were strangers that broke into Tommy Wiseau's house, that's exactly what he would do. That's the one person who could get away with just going,
see,
why
I would
am
believe
my
it
house?
If this character was Tommy Wiseau, if this was James Franco as Tommy Wiseau. But it's not. It's this old woman who turns around to a stranger in her house. And is super fucking calm about it.
You know what, though?
It.
Like, this woman is probably a grizzled old lady. She lives in a trailer park. She doesn't give a fuck.
Fuck
like, get
that.
Out of my trailer, man.
Well, she
I
gets...
Know, yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, she gets killed off screen by Dollface, who's chilling there. And then Dollface snuggles up next to her husband in bed.
Yeah.
That guy's a sound sleeper.
Yeah.
That'd be me.
She snuggles up next to him and the dog.
And the dog!
The dog who is not in this movie for any reason that I can tell.
Why have the dog if he's not going to act like a dog?
I think the dog's a plot dog because the dog is what makes them realize that something weird's up in the bedroom where the aunt and uncle have been murdered, but the dog's still alive. They hear it trying to get out.
Yeah.
It's a plot dog.
It's a plot dog.
It's a plot dog.
And it doesn't act like a dog. Make it a cat.
Yeah.
Make it a cat and then you
Speaking
don't
of,
have
hello,
to... Oh,
Lucy.
Hey, Lucy. then you don't have to try to, like, then you don't have a dog who's not barking or concerned about these strangers in its bed. That's weird.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care. That's the cold open. That's the opening kills, which are off screen. Then we meet our family, our protagonist family. It's Mike and Cindy. Cindy played by Christina Hendricks. Okay. Mike played by, what's this dude's name?
Oh, I liked Mike.
Martin Henderson. He wasn't doing it for me.
Why? He's a hot dad.
He can be a hot dad, but like, I don't know. Some of his acting wasn't strong.
I don't know. Maybe I was in a good mood today. I think I just went in and I liked the family.
Yeah.
And I liked the mom and the dad's relationship.
That was nice. That was a thing I was concerned about because in the original, I pointed out in the kill count, you have this couple who like, they just had a messy decline proposal, but they still like care about each other.
Yeah,
and that same kind of thing carries over here. Mm-hmm. Like this family has issues, but you can tell that like they care about each other.
Yeah, I think that's something that they carried over very well into this movie is just like the first one, you care about the people
mm-hmm.
that are being attacked by the strangers. You're not excited for them to get murdered.
Yeah, and it sucks. It is the same writer, Brian Bertino, although it looks like a guy named Ben Kitai also co-wrote this one with him.
Mm-hmm.
But that explains why the characters are similarly, like, yeah, sympathetic.
Yeah.
I like them.
I don't know, it's nice to see in a movie a mom and a dad of teenage kids who they still want to fuck each other.
Yeah, that's nice, yeah.
It's nice.
I mean, look at the parents, though.
I know.
There's the one scene where...
dad, hot mom.
Where she's like, I look so tired. I'm like...
Christina Hendricks.
Come on, you look...
Joni, cheer up, Joni.
I also really like the sibling relationship. I always love seeing that.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, any movie that instead of having like teen lovers have teen siblings, great.
Yeah.
Sign me up. Because that's a
cool
dynamic.
Of a sucker for that in movies too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It still gets me, yeah. Oh man, my phone is probably going to die during this, but that's okay. So they're taking the daughter Kinsey to a boarding school, and for some reason they're just going to stay in this trailer park.
I mean, I assumed that they had, because they were packing up the car in the beginning.
So it's probably on the way.
It's on, or close by.
Yeah. That's fine. That's cool. They get the key.
So the daughter is going off to boarding school because apparently she's been misbehaving.
I was waiting to hear a fuller explanation. We didn't get it.
Yeah, I think they kind of hinted at, you know, she skips class and...
bad grades.
She smokes.
But the daughter did specifically mention two of her friends that weren't getting in trouble. So to me, that read like... her and two of her friends did something like an acute cause.
Yeah,
for this.
Maybe
I
read
not.
It as more the parents recognizing that the girls or whoever she's friends with are just bad friends and they need to split them up.
Yeah, that too.
Maybe not necessarily that they did one bad thing.
It's so funny that at this age I'm like siding with the parents.
Me too.
I'm like, no man, the parents are right.
I thought that during the movie.
Yeah,
it's like, oh man, I feel closer to these parents than I do with the kids.
For sure. But they get there, they get the key from Uncle Marv, not in person, left with a note.
So Christina Hendricks goes into the, I don't know what to call it, the general store of
I think
the
it's
trailer
the
park
general store, yeah.
And picks up the keys, and there's a note that's, it tells them what trailer to go to, and it is signed Marvin, but this note is like written in such a child scribe.
Yeah.
Later, I should have just known this right away. It was written by one of the strangers. But
still, why does it look like that?
It's crazy. Yeah, it's like, what?
This is how Uncle Marv must write.
With a big, weird smiley face.
Yes,
the
smiley thing has been used in all the promos, and it's on the mailbox here.
Was that in the first one at all?
No, that's a new thing that they... And
it reminds
a smiley
me
face
of
just
the
seems
Purge.
So... Yeah, it seems like done, overdone.
Yeah.
Like a smiley face is a horror thing.
I genuinely thought, though, that would, like... Marvin, Uncle Marvin wrote that note with the weird smiley face, which is better.
Yeah.
And like also put the smiley face on the mailbox like a weirdo.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. We forgot that the dad doesn't know what a queef is.
Oh my God. So they're, I forgot about this. They're driving and the brother and sister start arguing in the back seat. And does the sister call? No. The brother
calls the sister
The brother
a
queef, calls his sister a queef. Which is great.
Yeah.
And then there's a little back and forth about how the dad doesn't know what a queef is.
Yeah. Come on, Dad. You know what a queef
dad
is.
Dad knows what a queef is.
Come on, Dad. If you've had... All right. I wasn't going to do it. But yeah, so they're in this trailer park. Trailer park, I think, is a cool setting.
It is.
For this movie. I wish they had used it a little bit more. I guess they used it enough.
How do you mean?
See, as soon as I said that, I was like, I'm going to get questioned on this, and I don't know how to answer
how to affect,
that.
Yeah, because...
Yeah. They run in and out of trailers, and there's the general store and the pool. I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. It's a good setting, though.
Yeah. Well, because immediately my thought was, when I realized they were going to a trailer park, when they first set up in their trailer, I just immediately thought, holy shit, what is this movie going to be because the first one's all home invasion.
Yeah, in a big ass house.
So what is this going to be where they're in a trailer, which is just a couple rooms.
Mm-hmm. And so they just blow
really
it out to the whole
confined,
park.
Yeah, so basically yeah. the whole park becomes...
And that's fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, it feels like a round of Friday the 13th, the game, down to the bridge that they
cross
into. But seriously, the
and
whole
the
movie...
cops showing
yeah,
up.
They have to call the cops.
Yeah.
They have to repair the car to try to get out. Like, it felt like a round of Friday the 13th, the game. Which is interesting because they definitely made the killer more like Jason in this. The man in the mask.
Oh.
By the end, how he's just surviving everything.
Oh my god. We're gonna talk a lot about that last scene with him because I was very into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so dumb.
But it's a drastic turn from the more realism of the first one. I mean, the first one does have them like playing around with their victims, but they never seem superhuman.
Yeah.
They would like disappear, but I feel like I don't know. It felt more like if you blew them up in a car explosion, they wouldn't come back.
Yeah. They felt a little more supernatural in this one, which was
for
fine.
Sure. Yeah. They get to their trailer. I didn't know trailers. Is this what trailers look like now?
They can look really nice.
Yeah.
We had, I remember so vaguely, and if either my parents are listening to this, they'll be able to correct me, but I think we had a family friend growing up. I was so young that it's like vague, but we had a family friend who lived in a trailer. I remember it being a really nice trailer.
It was a nice trailer.
Yeah.
I would definitely hang out there.
I think it's a stereotype that all trailers are gross.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess so.
There's some
shame
chill
on
trailers
me.
Out there, been in them.
They get a knock at the door, and it's Dollface without her Dollface on.
You're going to say dolphin. I don't know.
It's a dolphin.
Dolphin.
Is Tamara home?
Yeah, Dollface is out there. So she asks if Tamara's home in the first one.
Yep.
Do we know... Is Terry, was that, has that ever been?
I think that's just a made up
it's
thing.
It's just a thing.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there was any reasoning. Because I noticed, too, the same thing. She does it twice.
Yeah, in both movies.
And so, I was curious if there's, I don't know.
Yeah,
if there's anything behind that in terms of like the mythology of the strangers, but.
But if anyone listening still trick or treats, because that's possible. My suggestion is instead of saying trick or treat when you knock on a door, say, is Tamara home?
Is Tamara home?
That'll creep out like one person.
I was
going to
say, most people will have no idea. I would have had no idea because I forgot that they even say that.
Yeah, that's okay. So they come in way earlier here and the action gets going way sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Dollface is like running around. We see her like in the far background in that one playground shot, which was cool when the siblings are talking.
Yeah.
And you just see her like in the far background after they leave frame. And then she like darts off frame left. And it was weird to see them run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they have to cover so much more ground in this one.
I guess, you know what? I guess in the first one, I was always like, they look out the window and see her. Then they talk to each other and look back out and she's gone. And I was going to, I actually wrote and filmed a joke in the first kill count where I'm like, I'd love to see a shot of her like running away. I took it out because I realized, oh, Scary Movie does that. Like they have a shot of him like running away off screen. So I didn't want to steal a Scary Movie joke.
Yeah.
But I guess we just saw that in the sequel was like seeing them do that essentially. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
I liked they kind of did that, that really famous shot in the first one, that super long take where masked guys in the background, they played with that a little more in this one, and I liked it every time. Just them creeping around in the background is always really fun to me.
The kids are talking because what's her name? What's the daughter? Kinsey Scale. She runs out because she's all upset and moody after the dad collects the phones, which I think worked as a way to get rid of cell phones.
Like, yes,
family time.
I didn't realize that until you said it just now. The dad earlier in the movie says, no, we're gonna have one last night together as a family before your sister goes off to boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
Give me all your phones. And so he has all the phones and puts them in a pile.
Yeah.
And that is a really clever way to get rid of all the phones.
Yeah, it worked for me. I saw some people online being like, that was so obvious. I was
No,
that works.
I could easily see that dad
saying,
we're gonna have a fun card game night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the kids are outside hanging out, trying to talk, and then they see an open trailer, and they go into it.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is another moment where I'm like, okay, I can kind of see them go, like...
Well, I think they knew it was their uncle's trailer.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And that's why she's ransacking it for liquor?
Yeah, and that's why they say something like, that's weird.
Okay.
And they go inside. They know it's their uncle's trailer.
Yeah, okay, all right. That's fair, I suppose. If they do. I'm not convinced they do, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
They hear Plot Dog in the back.
Yeah, Plot Dog is in the bedroom.
And then, so I'm skeptical this whole scene of, like, them going in there and then also pursuing this noise.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them wants to leave, but of course they got to go back there. They find the bodies in a great shot, I think, because it's shot through the window when she takes off the cover of the bodies. And so instead of seeing, like, their reaction or, like, a full-on reveal of the bodies, it's, like, through the window as though they're being looked at, like the strangers would be looking at them. So
yeah, so the aunt and uncle they were, like, tied back to back on the bed? What was going on?
They were all messed up.
It was all gross.
Yeah, it was dark, but it looked cool from what you could see.
It's weird. They don't really fully reveal...
Something with a jaw. It looked like there was some jaw gore going on.
Well, yeah, there was definitely some mouth trauma going on. I think it was the uncle's jaw was all ripped and dislocated. That was unexpectedly gross. And yeah, we don't even see the aunt. I don't know what kind of mess her face is.
Yeah.
Yeah, ooh, gross.
But yeah, so like it's pretty early on in the movie and they already know like these are murderers.
Yep.
So Dollface does her little Where's Tamara again? To the parents who are at their trailer, and then she just like walks off. I like the shot of her walking off and like, turning back and looking at them.
Yeah,
her face being in shadows on the porch was definitely like movie shadows.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you'd be
yeah,
able to
like,
see her face, but whatever.
Because it's like them the first one.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's revealed the same thing here is that they like unscrewed the porch light to get that kind of shadows going on, but. They go off to find the kids because Christina Hendricks is rightfully.
I loved this.
Yeah, I wrote down the line.
This is a moment where I was like, oh, fun. These characters aren't stupid.
Sure. When she's like that girl creeped me
out. Yeah. So the Dollface knocks on the door a second time, asks where Tamara is, and then kind of skulks away. And Christina Hendricks immediately says, "Where are the kids?"
Yeah.
And the dad's like, "Why?" And she's like, "Cause that girl's fucking creepy."
Yeah. So that was cool.
And it was such a good line delivery. Christina Hendricks, please come on our podcast.
Hi, Christina.
Christina, please keep doing horror movies so you can come in our podcast and be our friend.
Yeah.
I love her. Anyway.
You have a lovely voice.
Right? Oh my gosh, she has such a pretty voice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's like, yeah, that girl's creepy. And that was a moment where in my head I thought, okay, fun. These characters aren't completely stupid. They're not fish in a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So the parents go out, they find the kids. The kids are like, hey, aunt and uncle are dead. And then they split up with Cindy and Kinsey going back to the family trailer and Mike and Luke going to look at those bodies some more, I guess.
Yeah, and they're just going to go, hey, kid, you want to see a body? That's what they're
They take forever because they like leave and then we follow the ladies and they have their whole thing.
Yeah.
And then we come back and the guys are just getting back to the trailer. And whatever, it's fine. There's like a moment of like, we're lost. This all looks the same. That's kind of what I was thinking was, there's that scene where they run out of the aunt and uncle's trailer, and then they're like, I don't know, it all looks the same. And I wanted to see more of that confusion, which we didn't get, but that's okay.
Yeah, like them trying to navigate.
Like rows of trailers.
Interesting.
I guess I wanted more wide shots of the whole park.
Okay.
They use individual trailers in a good way. I wanted to see like rows of them getting
like
hunted down. Yeah, like kind of a maze thing. Although I guess it's probably not that kind of trailer park. I grew up down the street from a trailer park. It was a block away. I don't know if you know that.
Oh,
I
vaguely remember going. Yeah,
yeah.
Driving by some.
Yeah, I lived on the other side of the trailer park from all my friends in the city with the school that I went to.
There were some pretty close to my house growing up, too.
Yeah, I would like hang out with trailer park kids. That was fun. But they weren't nice trailers like those. So here's another scene where Dollface appears in the trailer and the reaction to it is just mind-bogglingly calm. To me.
Well, Christina Hendricks and...
Yeah.
No, it was
the daughter
great.
Turns around and she's just like, Mom.
No, she can't scream.
Why not?
Because she's like in shock.
I'd scream. I think we had
totally different. What I read it is like she is so freaked out that she's like hyped because she's like, like she can't say anything. That's how I thought. I thought she was so freaked out that she couldn't talk.
I don't know.
And I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
I think we just
That's just different readings. That's after they find all the cell phones have been messed up.
Yes.
And Christina Hendricks.
Because that's why I think they're both so fucking freaked out is because they find those mashed up phones and they realize how fucked they are.
Yeah.
And then Dollface pops up in the trailer and then she's so freaked out. Like her anxiety, she's so panicked that she can't even say anything.
Yeah. And you said, was it Dollface? In all cases, yes, because Pinup Girl is entirely wasted in this movie.
Yeah.
She has like two scenes, maybe.
Yeah.
It's definitely Dollface's show for the first half, and then Man in the Mask shows up, and then it's kind of his. But then Dollface chases them into the bathroom, and
their names are... So yeah, Dollface, Pinup Girl, which makes sense to me, and then Man in the Mask. I mean, you can't... What else are you going to call him? Like Sack Face?
I think some have called him Sack Head or Sack Face.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think Found Flix has referred to him as Sack Head or maybe Bag Head. Not sure. Make sure she doesn't bump that camera because this is a very precarious webcam setup. So, yeah, Lucy.
Lucy.
Christina Hendricks gets fucking stabbed and killed.
Yeah, that's a big problem I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I
mean, it makes sense for the movie.
I really was hoping for those two to be the last ones left.
Oh, and then have
because
like a
bond. their mother-daughter angst was really heartbreaking for me.
And that was the strongest relationship out of the characters.
My note that we talked about earlier where I scrawled down one shot teen actor exclamation point. What I meant with that note is there's a shot earlier in the film when they're like mid-drive, they stop at a diner and Christina Hendricks and the daughter are outside talking and there's just one long take where they're acting, man. It's good.
It's Bailey Madison is the actress playing Kinsey.
And it's a really, really good mother-daughter scene. I totally bought that they were related and that there was this history. I totally got exactly what their relationship was and I found it a little heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It was like it hit me in like a personal place.
Yeah, I mean the like we said earlier, the brother sister relationship is great. I always like to see that. But the one with the relationship with the most complexity to
the
mother daughter one.
Was
and so
good.
I was very sad she was killed. I was not surprised because some fucker on Twitter spoiled who died in this movie me. Even before it came out on Friday. I think it was Thursday night. They must have seen it like Thursday night and then hopped on their fucking Twitter and
got
was like, hey,
James,
do you know that the parents and all three strangers die? Hearing that all three strangers dies,
that sucks.
That sucks, dude. Because you don't expect that.
No, I thought maybe one of them.
Yeah. You don't expect the fucking strangers to kill the fucking strangers.
If you didn't know by this point, and we warned you many times, we were going to spoil the movie. All the strangers are gone. There's no more sequels. So I mean, maybe, but no.
I blocked that guy on Twitter.
That sucks. I'm sorry.
So I can't pull
James,
up his name
this is
and
the price
curse
of fame.
Out. Yeah,
this is
for
the price
real, man.
Of being a YouTube celebrity.
Oh, God. So Christina Hendricks is stabbed to death. Very sad.
Fuck, that sucks.
That sucks.
Honestly, and again, this is where I was like, these characters are not stupid. I really want to hear your arguments for them being stupid because they're trapped.
We shot down one of them, their reaction in the trailer, which still seems to be.
They lock themselves in the bathroom, which is at the far end of the trailer. And the thing with the way trailers are set up, if you've never been in one, is they're basically like bullet house style where it's just one row of rooms. You can't go around rooms. There's only one way in and one way out.
Mm-hmm.
But when they lock themselves in the bathroom at the end of the trailer, they notice there's like a skylight in the bathroom. So the mom lifts her daughter up to climb out of the skylight and basically sacrifices herself.
Yeah.
And, oh man, that was like, that's the thing with the first movie and this one is sometimes it's too real.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like a little too real where, you know, it's not the fun kind of horror. It's the horror that I'm going to think about while I'm trying to go to sleep. And I felt kind of viscerally.
Well, that's, I mean, I literally watched the first one for the kill count the night that you left.
Yeah,
town.
I was out of town.
Yeah. So first night alone, I'm sitting there watching The Strangers and it's like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And of course, I put it on because I'm like, nothing scares me no more. I watch all the whole movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I realized, like, oh, yeah, that's because every night I get to go to bed with you, with another person.
It makes such a difference.
It's such a difference.
Dude, I was house sitting this, like, pretty big house in Colorado, like, strange city, strange everything. And all I could think about the first night I went to sleep by myself was Gerald's Game. If any of you have read Gerald's Game, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Fuck.
Yeah.
I immediately was like, nope, 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 nope. We're not thinking about this. We're not thinking about that guy.
Yeah, I definitely had a small light on when I went to sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had Lucy, a small light on, the little face mask on.
That's cute. If you, you know, let us know if when's the last time you had trouble sleeping because you couldn't stop thinking about a scary movie. I want to know.
Yeah, because my brain would just be like, hey, dude, what if there was someone just like standing in the corner?
Yeah, that's all
there?
I could think about. Yeah. Like, hey, what if that guy from Gerald's Game was in the corner?
Yeah, like, hey, brain, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I won't spoil Gerald's Game any more than that. If any of you.
It's a good one.
It's very
a great
good.
Movie. That great book. Adaptation, too.
That book is genuinely one of the only books that made me think after I finished it, I might want to sleep with the light on.
Yeah.
It really freaked me out.
It's legit. So then Mike and Luke find the bodies. They hear the voicemail letting them know that, like, oh, the strangers knew they were coming. Then the man in the mask makes his appearance with a zoom in, with a zoom. I didn't like the zooms in this movie.
There were a lot of zooms. You know, I liked most of them.
Yeah.
I will say, and this is
it just kind of took me out of it. It's compared to the original too. And like I said up top, entirely
style
different
wise, this movie's different.
Entirely different. Yeah.
Different
director.
I wonder. So. Oh, I was just going to ask if the director was different.
Brian Bertino, the writer, also directed the first one. He wasn't initially going to, but after some dropped out, he was like, I'll direct my own script.
Wow.
And so he did not direct this one. Phone's literally about to die, but it's Johannes. Johannes Roberts directed this. And so, he also did that 47 meters deep or 47 whatever. The shark one. 47 meters down with Mandy Moore.
Oh, the shark cage movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he did that. I haven't seen that yet. Uh-uh. But yeah.
I like Mandy Moore. I would see it. Second to say. Oh, yeah. Style-wise, I liked most of the weird zooms in this because I thought, again, it was an 80s style choice. I think it reminded me of 80s movies.
Yeah, I think it was.
We were talking about this on the way home.
Choice.
This movie, in terms of the style choices and just the effort put into giving it a look, it's more than just a cash grab horror sequel, which is something I really appreciate. I think that this movie is genuinely trying. I think it's trying to be something different than the original, but still in the same tradition. And something that stood out to me, especially, is all these really wide shots where everything is super flat. And that's what happens when you shoot with a small aperture in film. What happens is everything is in focus. So you get this weird feel and look where everything is super crisp and you lose depth of field. So you don't get an idea of how far away stuff is. Everything looks super compressed and weird. And that's what they keep doing in this movie. I loved it. It just was really disorienting and kind of gross looking. I'm vamping. James is off the mic, plugging stuff in. I'm by myself on the couch. I'll just keep talking about film techniques. You good? You plug in the phone?
Yeah,
I know.
So
you know what?
Dead.
Because then I realized I was about to talk for so long about lenses, and I didn't want to do that.
Baby, everyone wants to hear you talk about lenses.
But yeah, so basically that's what's going on, is they're shooting with a very small aperture, which is the opening on a camera. So if you see on the video, you can't podcast where I'm making a circle with my hands. So like, big aperture. This is like when one thing in the foreground is in focus. And then if you close up the lens, that's when it like, everything is in focus, which always confused me in film school.
Yeah,
it seems like it should be
because there's like three different things that can affect that depth of field.
Yeah,
and that's one of them.
Yep, yep, yep. All right.
So
moving on.
Yeah, good job vamping, babe.
Thank you.
I knew you could do it.
Thank you.
So they drive out. Oh, they get the gun. So it's the same thing as the first one, where like, oh, my relative had a gun here somewhere. I'm gonna find it.
I had that thought near the beginning of this where I thought, you know, these Strangers movies would be pretty short if they just had a gun and shot them all.
Except for, you got the shitty fucking son. Because he's, the dad gets the gun, and Luke's like, you're gonna shoot him? Yeah, Luke, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna fucking shoot him.
Fuck yeah, I'm gonna shoot him.
I mean,
was there a line cut somewhere where the brother says he's a pacifist or some shit? Because that would explain.
I think we get it pretty well established that the brother is a very sweet boy. I think he's a very, he's a sweetheart, and he's a really good older brother, and he seems like he's a very soft boy. And not in a bad way. I think he seems really sensitive and would be very good husband material if he didn't get murdered. But he...
Well, he doesn't get murdered.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. Sorry, just like my brain just broke a little. I forgot that he makes
it. Yeah, he survives that stabbing, yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. Anyway, I hope he gets better. But my best wishes to that kid in the hospital.
But he also, fuck yeah, I'm going to shoot him.
But that's the thing is, James shooting someone.
Okay, I understand that. But later on, Dollface stabs his sister and he doesn't shoot her. He's like, get away from her.
Yeah, dude.
You can make her get away from her if you fucking shoot her.
Yeah.
And then even the sister's like, give me it. I'll shoot her. Which, thankfully, they added that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that sister got stuff done in this movie, dude.
Yeah.
She was great. I really liked her a lot. By the way, that actress was in the best TV show.
R.I.P. Trophy Wife.
R.I.P. Trophy. Trophy Wife was on, was that on ABC?
Think so.
If you can find it, it was so fucking funny and no one watched it.
No.
Bradley Whitford, Malin Ackerman, and
Marsha Gay Harden,
yeah.
Michelle Watkins.
Yeah, Michaela Watkins,
I'm sorry.
Really fucking funny show.
Amazing.
That no one watched because the title Trophy Wife makes it sound like a different show than it was. Anyway, the daughter was in that show. She was very funny. She was really good in this. Mm. I think she has a career ahead of her.
Yeah,
I think
Bailey
she's
Madison.
Versatile. Keep an eye on her.
The son doesn't even have a Wikipedia article.
No, but he is Bill Pullman's son.
Oh, okay.
He's got actor dad.
Actor dad.
Everyone's good in this.
I saw contrary opinions online. And as far as I'm concerned, Christina Hendricks did fine because she's amazing and can do fine
with
anything.
She's an angel and can't be bad at anything.
I wasn't a fan of the dad, Martin Henderson.
Hot dad.
Bailey Madison, the daughter, did well. And Lewis Pullman, the name of Bill Pullman's
boy.
He was fine, I guess. Sweet boy. Sweet soft boy.
I think I was just in a mood to like...
No, I'm glad you.
I just wanted to,
because I was worried you would hate this.
No.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Well, it's
I don't know.
Jump
I was just
scary.
In a mood to like a movie. No, I hate all the jump scares. That was my least favorite character. Is
the jump scares. The jump scares.
And the dog. That dog sucks.
Yeah, that fucking plot dog sucks so much. The jump scares actually is a kind of a character, because a jump scare scares the guys out of the trailer. Like, I don't even know what happened.
I don't know either.
There was just like a
loud
boom, and they're like, oh, we got to go.
The fuck out of the street, dude. After. There's a jump. My favorite jump scare is when a literal truck just destroys a trailer.
That was the best jump scare for sure.
That got me pretty good.
Got me too. this one just happens after Man in the Mask disappears outside. So there's a big old jump scare. They run out. They get into the car. And then they're driving. And I love first-person car crashes.
Yeah.
I think they're always fucking awesome. I'm thinking
they
The Descent.
Make me anxious.
I'm thinking Get Out. Yeah.
Oh, the beginning of The Descent.
The beginning of The
Honestly,
Descent.
Honestly, part of the reason I haven't rewatched that movie is because there's so many fucking jump scares in it, and that's what I always think of is when they get in that car accident in the beginning, because it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. And like, I've been in a car accident.
Same.
I've been in a Jeep that flipped on its side.
Fuck.
And just every time I see it in a film, it's super effective
it's
to me.
It's so visceral,
it's
yeah.
Like, oh,
I was behind someone who got hit, like T-boned by a drunk driver.
Oh, shit.
And then we hit the car in front of us.
Yeah.
And if we had been in front, if we were in front of the car that was in front, like if we'd switched places and we were the car that got T-boned, I would have gotten,
because you would have been dead.
Because
on your side.
Yeah, because the person behind us, like we hit their passenger side, like we smashed right into them.
In high school,
shit freaks me out.
I've told you this before. I was in a car, I was up front in the passenger seat, and the chick driving it was doing this dumb, like, kind of racing thing with another buddy of mine, and she tried to pull into his subdivision ahead of him.
Oh,
and
God.
Was looking over her shoulder.
Oh, you told
and
me.
She runs right, drives straight into the brick fucking sign
with,
from
like,
the subdivision.
Name of the subdivision.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there. So I'm sitting there as bricks are falling, like it's like a crash. Bricks crashing onto the fucking hood of the car, and I don't think they busted the windshield, but it was close. And then she just like backed up, parked it in a laser tag parking lot, and was like, told everyone, someone did this to my car. And then the next day in school, some cops pulled her out of class. I was like, did you run into the sign?
Do you remember what the subdivision was called?
No, I don't.
Because I think I remember you telling me this story and me laughing at the name of the subdivision.
It was good times.
Oh, but
yeah.
By the way, the night I got into my crazy car accident,
yeah,
I was coming home from a date, and the guy I was on a date with was driving. We saw Flight of the Conchords, by the way. They were great.
Nice.
And that was also after that car crash, he dropped me off at my dorm, and that was my first kiss. He kissed me, and I was like, I don't know how to feel about this night. Anyway, that's my first kiss story.
That's sweet, baby.
Yep.
Mine was after a field trip in sixth grade.
Oh, my God, James. I was so old.
That's okay.
It's okay.
I've made up for it with you.
Oh.
I kiss you a bunch. They crash into another trailer, and the dad gets fucking impaled.
He gets descended.
And then dumbass soft baseball boy brother is like, let me pull it out for
you. No, you idiot. I was having a hard time at that moment. Kid. That kid. So basically the dad gets impaled by a giant thing of wood, which, yeah, like I said, he gets descended. Isn't that what happens in The Descent?
I think in The Descent, a pole goes through the guy's head.
Sure, okay.
It's
much worse. But if something goes through the windshield and just stabs the...
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's just like a log sticking out of this dad's chest, and the kid is like, oh, dad, I'll pull it out. Like, no!
And the dad's like, maybe just like go get help. Here's the gun. You thought the dad was going to say, kill me.
Yes. James, I would have been
she
so
was like making
up.
Noises and grabbing my arm.
I literally grabbed James and was like, oh no.
I was like, the dad's not going to do that. And this soft little boy's not going to be able to do it if he asks
him. I thought
it
was going to be
like the turning
a missed moment where the dad was like, son, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
Please do the manly adult thing kill your dad so he doesn't suffer.
That soft boy's not doing that.
That would have been fucked up.
Yeah.
But I thought the dad was going to shoot himself.
Oh, scar that soft boy for life.
Yeah.
Soft boy runs off and man in the mask shows up.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
goes around the car and gets in.
He
and
just sits in the passenger seat.
This is like quintessential stranger's behavior right here. Just like chilling there, turning on the radio, turning up the tunes.
Yeah.
And then he takes an ice pick to the dad and kills
him. Is it an ice pick?
I thought it was an owl. It could also be an owl.
It's hard to it's hard to make it not sound owl. Like owl.
It's like when you say oral, but you mean like A-U-R-A-L.
Oh,
and it's like no, not oral. Oral. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an owl. Which, if you don't know what that is basically Leprechaun has one of them.
Does he?
Leprechaun has an owl. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Leprechaun is a cobbler, and so you use an owl. A-W-L, to make eyelets and shoes where your shoelaces go through.
Nice,
or to make corsets.
Nice pimping out the Leprechaun franchise. Coming to a kill count near you soon
yeah.
for 7 weeks. People are...
I forget. I think it's the second one where she tries to kill him with his awl and it doesn't work.
That's right.
Yeah.
God, that second one fucking sucks.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, the more you know, it's used to make eyelets and clothing.
There you go. Did the kids get back together yet? Is my phone charged enough to take it off? Yes, it is. Great. Dad gets killed. Oh, this is when Pinup Girl finally shows up in the pipe.
Oh.
Which would have been, how did
so,
that
okay,
scare
we should
work ex- for
we
you?
Should explain that. So the girl, the daughter's running and she notices the masked guy is driving.
Yeah, in the truck.
Yeah, he starts driving after her. So she goes to hide in this playground. It's like a pipe thing.
Yeah.
I think I've been in playgrounds where you have those. They're like
sure.
They're like a tube you can crawl around in.
Yeah.
So she goes and hides in one of those. I don't remember that scared? What, is she just there?
Because she's like, leave me alone or something. And then Pinup Girl's like, but we're just getting started. As she like puts her face. How'd that scare work for you?
It's fine. I was expecting it.
Because it was in all the trailers.
Oh.
It was like, I feel like I was beaten over the head with that scare.
Feel like I saw it coming.
Yeah.
Because the way the camera was framed, there was so much room in that shot.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we haven't seen the third one.
Yeah, she's gonna this be is like right her there. Appearance.
Yeah, I knew she was going to
And then
be
she
there.
Gets killed pretty soon after that. I get, oh, Luke saves her? I don't remember that.
Yeah, so they meet up somehow again, the daughter and the brother.
Oh, this is when she like, so credit to this, I'm thinking to myself, while she's running away from these strangers, hop into a random trailer and hide out. It shouldn't be that hard. Credit to this, she does.
She does do that.
But Dollface is there
with
somehow. Oh, with the Jack in the
Jack in
the Box.
That kind of sucked.
Jack in the Box is lame. Then the reveal that Dollface was like hiding under a blanket right next to the Jack in the Box.
Oh no, that person shaped thing is actually one of the killers, Ron.
Yeah, who happened to be waiting in the right trailer
with the toy.
With the toy.
That's a moment where they seemed a little more supernatural.
Yeah.
Because how did that even? Like, yeah. Random trailer plus the fact that one of the strangers had the foresight to set that up.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, look at this creepy Jack in the Box.
This will be really
cool.
I'm going
to wait here.
Yeah.
On the off chance she dives into this trailer. Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Yeah. Like, imagine if, like, she picked a different trailer and Dollface is still just hiding under a blanket. Like, no, it'll be great if it works out.
Yeah.
Just wait. But this is when Dollface stabs her and the brother's like, get away from her with the gun in his hand.
So Dollface stabs the daughter in like
just
the arm.
Just a little bit though, yeah. It's not
she stabs her a little
stab,
bit.
Yeah, whatever.
Walk it off. You're fine.
You're fine. It's not as bad.
But this is when they, oh God. See, this is the thing, is this location, the trailer park, everything looking the same. This is when I start to fucking forget
happened. This is when Luke puts her under a porch. He's like, wait here.
Wait here
I'm
under
gonna
this
go,
porch.
I'm going to go use the phone
That's
in the general
right.
store.
Right, so he puts, because she.
Oh, we got a knock at the
door.
Oh
my
door.
God,
Holy
no, there's a knock
fuck.
At the door. James,
wow.
Go get it. I'm going to keep
That's
talking.
Creepy as hell.
We might have to edit this part. I know. Oh my God, I'm so scared. Oh, it's UPS, but that was really creepy. Oh my God. Our UPS guy must think we're so fucking weird. We have like the same UPS guy who's always dropping stuff off, and I'm always mailing shit from the dead meat store out through our apartment, but we always get like weird shit in the mail. I bet he thinks we're freaky. That was really
freaky.
Scary.
That was such a powerful stranger's knock.
I know. I was like, oh my God.
That was great.
What? I think the way to beat the strangers is to say, yeah, Tamara's home. And be like, yes, this is Tamara.
No, I was thinking, like, just don't answer the door. You know how many times they knock to drop something off, and I'm just, like, chilling there in my underwear, and I'm like, I'm not going to get the door. They'll leave it.
You talking about UPS or the strangers?
Both. Just don't answer the door.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Like, in that opening scene, if the old lady just stayed in
bed.
Are
they, like, vampires?
Oh, you got to invite them in?
Yeah. Something not like, I mean, they're you don't have to, but maybe that's part of the fun for them.
Yeah, but like if they don't know you're home, they can't kill you. Or I mean, they can, but they won't.
Yeah.
Just pretend you're not home.
Sure.
Whatever, treat them like a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh my God.
No fucking problem. So he hides her under the porch.
Of a trailer, because what happens is when they escape one trailer, they go out through a back window, and it's a pretty far drop, and she hurts her leg.
Oh, that's what happens? Okay.
Yeah, she fucks up her leg.
So he tells her to, which is a fine plan if he didn't sit there for 10 minutes talking to her.
Know.
Like, dude, just put her on there. Get on there.
Okay.
We're going to see you.
Yeah, he's like, all right,
this fucking
sister,
boy.
Be good. So you're so brave and inspiring. And it's this whole speech, and I'm like, just fucking
it's
go,
long
dude.
Speech, just fucking go, dude.
Yeah.
Time is of the essence. He gets to the general store, and Pinup Girl's there in her second scene. He does call the cops.
He
gets through to them, and then the line goes out, classic. Pinup Girl's there, and then he runs out back to the pool, and she runs at him, whacks her with a golf club,
ooh,
which is great.
That was, yeah.
Yeah, and then he finally becomes a little less soft, and
he's
stabs
soft.
Her.
This,
I think both of us thought
what?
That maybe Pinup Girl was going to be his sister. Did you have that thought or no?
I had that thought briefly, but realized it made no sense because she wasn't limping.
Oh, okay. Like, I thought maybe it was the sister with her mouth taped up.
I thought it was going to be that kind of. Yeah. That happens a lot in.
Yeah, I forget where else that's happened.
Fargo.
I was going to say Fargo with like Glenn Howerton.
In Fargo.
Yeah.
That's the one example I can think of.
Glenn Howerton. Fuck yeah. This movie could have used Glenn Howerton.
Yeah.
Bring back Mike.
Fuck, what was I going to say? Oh, but this is the scene we were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
This pool scene.
Pool scene.
Is great.
Best scene in the movie.
Very cool.
Sure.
Honestly, I think it works so well because the whole movie up to this point is a very distinct style, pace, color palette, everything. Everything looks a certain way. And then you get to this pool. So what happens is the brother flips this switch and all these lights come on in the pool. And there's all these neon palm trees.
Yeah.
And they,
looks
you know,
like Miami Vice.
It's crazy.
Super
and there's
80s.
The lights in the pool come on. And you've got, you know, it's still the 80s soundtrack. So it's not completely different.
Yeah, what is it? Total Eclipse of the Heart
starts playing, which great choice. Love that song.
The first movie had a couple of scenes where, like, the song made the sequence. And so I was glad that they were able to do it again.
Yes, for sure. This scene was so great. And so what happens is, what, the masked guy?
He shows up and it's some great shots of like where he's dragging the axe along the ground and the kids in the background and like great shots. And then this cool fucking fight sequence where he's and like the kid's like, I killed one of yours. How's that feel?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, soft boy.
Yeah.
Get hard.
Boy. Yeah. Because he stabs Peanut Girl.
Yeah.
Bad.
He stabs her to death.
Yeah.
Just a bunch.
Like really bad.
Yeah.
And that's when I thought back earlier to him not wanting to use a gun. It's, I think, you know, he finally does kill someone. You can tell it's, you know, he's feeling
it. Affects him, yeah.
It's hard to watch, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, man, the mask just swinging his axe all over the place.
There's a great long shot of the two of them fighting and walking at the same time. It's really cool.
Yeah, it wasn't all like
really
jumpy
long
editing and shit.
No, it was legitimately choreographed fighting, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, and then they wind up in the pool.
Yeah.
And that's great.
It was really cool. I did, however, think many times about that scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure where Pee-wee fights Francis in his bathtub.
Where are they hosing him up?
Oh, really? Where are they hosing him down? He's having his bath. Yeah, that's all I could think of.
Yeah.
Where they get to like the shallow end of the pool.
Mark Holton, who plays Francis, also in Leprechaun.
Also in Leprechaun.
And I make a reference to that scene. So
good. Good, good.
Got that spoiled. But yeah, the music is going in and out and like getting muffled in the underwater shots.
The camera goes in and out of the water and
beautiful.
The music. It's really cool.
It's very, very cool.
It's really, really neat.
And then he starts to get away. And this is another scene that was in all the trailers was the man in the mask stalking behind him in the pool.
I'm glad I didn't watch the trailers,
trailers
beforehand because I think I saw maybe some Twitter promos where I saw blips of the palm trees and I forgot that was a thing until that scene happened.
Yeah.
So for some reason I had this idea in my head that this movie takes place in like Reno.
It was filmed in Kentucky, by the way, I saw.
Oh, weird.
I don't know if they said where it took place or if it just took place in Kentucky.
If Kentucky's got tax incentives right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you don't often hear about stuff filming in Kentucky,
yeah,
so
hardly
I wonder.
Ever. Yeah. That's why it stood out to me. I was like, oh, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Cool, good for them. Pool scene's great. He ends up stabbing Luke in the back.
Yeah,
and
Luke's
then there's that
bleeding out pretty
long.
Bad.
He just leaves him in the pool, and there's that really long shot.
Oh, this was great.
Yeah.
There's a really long take where the brother's just bleeding out in the pool,
and
then
like trying to float on his back, but he
and
was stabbed in the back.
You're just like watching this kid die.
I thought he was dead, except for the fact that it was spoiled for me that he doesn't die.
Fuck, that sucks.
I know.
But then his sister's there. His sister shows up at the edge of the pool and pulls him out. It's all in this one take, and I thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
God, yeah, that pool scene.
That pool scene, man.
It's really good, and it's going to be such an overlooked thing in movies this year because it's in a sequel, and it's in a horror sequel.
That came out in March.
That came out in March, yeah. But kudos to the filmmakers on just that whole scene. It was really neat.
And again, that's director Johannes, if you say that, Roberts. He's British.
I was getting some guest vibes in that scene. The guest.
Sure, with those lights.
Dan Stevens, the lights and there's like the fog coming off the pool.
A lot of fog in this movie.
And the
fog everywhere.
And the brother-sister team up was giving me vibes.
Yeah. That's fun.
It's good stuff.
So then she, what happens to Luke? She saves him.
She leaves him next to the pool.
Oh, he's just left in next to the pool? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess he's in pretty bad condition. That's it for him, right?
That's it. Until yeah. She's like, I'm going to get us out of here. And she lays him down next to the pool. And then she
good thing they didn't come back for a swim.
To...
That's when she winds up in the middle of the road and a sheriff arrives. The cop
Yay,
arrives.
Yay, the police.
When Dollface came behind the cop, Chelsea was just like, no, like, in the theater.
Like, fuck. God damn it.
Yeah, that's always an effective thing is when like, help shows up and then...
Because you know that's not the end.
Yeah.
But it still sucks, man.
Yeah.
It still just feels like...
It was a very Scream moment. This yeah. This actually, a couple of things in the scene. Because in Scream, Neve Campbell runs out and the camera, Gail's cameraman is out there. And he's like, I'll help you. And then he turns around and gets like his throat slit.
Yeah.
So this cop gets his throat slit. Kinsey gets into the cop car and tries to start it.
Fuck.
And this is another direct... reference or homage or ripoff of Scream.
Uh-huh.
The same thing happens. Ghostface, like, she's in a cop car and she's looking for the keys, and Ghostface knocks on the window. Yeah, in the first Scream. Oh, okay. With the keys. And so this, there's no way they did this without knowing this.
I would love to know if these moments we're talking about are very specific references.
Well, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 100% has to be.
It literally was beat for beat. That part of Texas Chainsaw from the way she's fucking sitting in the bed of the truck. We'll get to it.
But knowing that, I feel like the Scream reference has to be pretty intentional.
Sure, I'm into it.
Yeah. So she can't drive off in the police car because Dollface has the keys. But inside that vehicle...
is a giant hunting rifle.
Shotgun.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's okay. A shotgun.
Yeah.
It's a big-ass gun. That's all I know.
Cops have, I believe,
I was
regularly
gonna say,
cops carry shotguns.
I was about
shotguns.
To ask, like, wait, why?
Yeah.
Would there be... Okay, that makes sense.
I think they keep shotguns in their vehicles for extenuating circumstances.
For stranger circumstances.
Yeah, and so she gets
Holy
this gun.
Holy fuck. She grabs this... Here, you...
No, go ahead. You
she
sound
grabs
really excited.
This gun and just fucking blows Baby Doll's face off. It's... crazy. Twice.
Yeah, she shoots her in the gut first and she just flies away.
Oh, yeah, she shoots her in the stomach first.
Yeah, and then she unmasks her.
Yes.
And we get a full-on view.
We see Gemma Ward.
No.
It's not Gemma Ward?
It's not. She was in the first one. This is a different actor.
This is a different...
Yeah,
really?
They recast all three strangers.
Oh, my God. Did they really?
It's been 10 years.
I guess. Because I was about to say, like, wow, she looks the same.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I thought it was Gemma Ward.
No, they replaced
well,
them all.
Okay. Like, you know, alien-esque... model.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that very specific niche of model type. That, like, kind of bony, like, spacey face.
Yeah, she looks kind of like a carnivorous alien.
Yeah.
She's got, like, a
she's
crazy
got a,
grin
she's got
on
a Manson girl face.
Yeah.
Manson girl face,
like
for
a big
sure.
old mouth, and she's doing weird grins and shit.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
And then we get our, why'd you do this to us? And this time it's, why not?
Why not?
So, sure, that checks out.
Mm-hmm.
Same as the first one because you were home.
Mm-hmm.
And then she fucking shoots her.
Then that's when she shoots her in the fucking
face.
It's
dude.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's like point blank, like mist, like blood mist
yeah.
everywhere.
It's crazy.
Fuck. Anyway, so that's when I was like, okay, wow, we're doing this. Because they killed. I'm thirsty now. Because they killed the one.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Whatever, they can make a new friend. But then they killed this one, and I'm like, fuck, they're just going to have to kill all of them at this point.
Question mark. Yeah.
Question mark.
Because Kinsey gets in the police car and finally gets it going, is about to get out of there, and then she gets fucking rammed by the truck.
This guy just likes hitting stuff with
Yeah, that truck is like a damn... Oh, because we missed earlier when the awesome jump
scare. Oh,
yeah,
we missed it. We said we were going to talk about it, and then we totally forgot. Because this whole movie, the second act is like a...
It's running all around.
It's everywhere.
It's a little
yeah.
confusing.
The
but yeah, when they're chilling in a... They're a like trailer. Bandaging their wounds, whatever.
And
I think
they're talking. It's really sweet because the brother is like, they're talking about their mom, and he's telling her a nice story to kind of distract her while he's trying to, like, set her injury. Mm-hmm. And then a fucking truck just drives through the wall.
That was the best jump scare.
It was. Ever. It was good. It was just, like, fucking
because there's a long scene of silence. Or mm-hmm. not silence, but stillness as they're talking.
And there's no build-up to there being a jump scare.
Yeah.
It's just
he's
a
like,
truck.
He's like, all right, so how about we go find a phone and boom.
It's
like,
just truck out of nothing.
Truck through the trailer. That's when he loses his gun, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I would have probably.
I forgot there was a shot, like a very purposeful shot
of him putting the gun
down. And I was like, "Fuck!" One of them's just gonna sneak up and take the gun, but no, a truck just like obliterates it.
Yeah. So, man in the mask rams into the police car, wrecks that shit.
He wrecks it many times.
Yeah, that was fun.
He
drives around and he keeps hitting her from like different angles, but then it eventually gets tangled up. The vehicles get all tangled up together.
And she
gets out and sees that there's gas leaking.
So fun.
And then lights it on fire.
That was
cool.
All very good.
I think there's a weird zoom in on her face though, right before she
Yeah,
does
she's
it.
Looking
weird.
All like crazy. Yeah. And I love it. She's like, she doesn't care anymore.
She lights that shit up and it explodes, and I'm like, good end to the movie.
Yeah.
Little did I know.
No, there's
So this is when it gets into Jason territory.
Yes.
And Christine territory, because that car should not be running.
Yeah.
But it is now a flaming hell truck on wheels.
Yeah.
And it starts chasing her down. And it's a cool fucking shot.
It's really cool.
When she's running across the bridge.
I was so into it.
Yeah.
That whole sequence where you see the car, the truck on fire,
yeah.
and it's driving behind her slowly because he's just fucking with her.
Yeah.
And she's limping in front of this truck. It's really cool.
It's good shit. Kind of an anticlimactic ending when he gets out, walks up to her, and then falls over and pulls out the glass.
Yeah.
And he just kind of falls. Oh, we do have that awesome shot of like his mask melted to his head.
Yeah.
That was cool.
It's like a Two-Face.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah. So he just falls over. That's kind of lame. And she gets away. She goes out to a truck. She goes out to the road. But before we see that, we see the people in the truck that are driving up to her. And it's such this random, like, well, who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It holds on that shot for a minute.
Yeah, it's like cut to random.
It looks like a mom and her son, maybe.
Yeah.
And so Kinsey runs out in the road, flags him down. They go to help her, and then they're like, oh, shit, because they see the man in the mask has come. He's still alive.
This
is very Jason.
This is when I was a little confused because I thought, I was like, what, like, dreams? Like, what's going on? Because he can run and seems like he fully healed. Like, he drank a healing potion and is all better. But we just saw him super fucked up.
Like, in a car explosion with glass in him. Whatever.
Yeah, he was on
That's
fire for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He chases. She gets in the back of the truck, and this is the
it's
obvious Texas Chainsaw.
Very, like, even down to the choreography. I think she even fucking sits down and turns the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like, drive.
It's the end of Texas Chainsaw, which, whatever.
The only difference is Man in the Mask isn't swinging it around.
His
axe breaks when he goes to hit
her.
It's
not Sunrise either.
Yeah, and she brains him with a bat. And knocks him down in the
That's
middle of the
right.
road. And then, so, I think he is dead at this point.
I do too.
We get the shot of the truck driving away with his head in the foreground.
Yes.
His eyes open.
We will have to talk about how we interpreted the ending of this film, though.
Yeah. But whenever I see a body with an eye open, that's code in horror movies.
Yeah, he's dead.
They're dead. Because if their eyes close, maybe they're knocked out. If their eyes open and stays open, they're dead. So this guy's dead. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
I could see if they somehow wanted to make another one of these, which I hope that they don't, because I think that
they could do a midquel.
They could do that's true. They could do a midquel. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
But then that's lame, because then you know the strangers aren't going to die unless they kill them and they're like, we'll get a new one. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's what I was just going to say is if they do a sequel, they could act like, oh no, the guy. Is alive and he just recruited two more.
And like gave them the masks, whatever. Uh-huh. I don't know. Would the next one be in the style of like 90s horror? Or are we just going to move through the decades?
So what?
Strangers 3 would just be like super meta.
Yeah, right. I was going to say it would have to be just meta.
Yeah. And then it's just the last scene in the hospital where we see that Lucas is still alive on life support.
The sister wakes up screaming.
Probably is going to happen a lot throughout your life, Sarikins.
Yep. And I think that's what's implied by the end of the movie, which I found very depressing.
A strong knock on the door, and she gets scared. And
drops her glass of water, and the movie's over.
And I saw people online be like, how is he still alive? No. And it's like, dude.
I read it as it's a nurse or someone.
Yeah.
But the end of this movie is just implying that the strangers are never going to truly leave her because she's so fucking traumatized. And every knock on the door is going to be them for the rest of her life. It's a fucked up way to end. Like the UPS guy was the strangers for like a second.
Yeah.
But I think that that's what the end is implying. And I think that that's really upsetting. Mm-hmm. And really, because I always think about that when I watch horror, is when you have a horror movie like this where it's really grounded, I'm always really conscious of the idea of any survivor of this has PTSD forever.
Yeah.
And they're fucked.
For sure.
And yeah, this character's fucked.
That was the cool thing about Scream 2, is that Sydney was dealing with shit.
Yeah, Sydney in Scream has PTSD for sure.
Yeah.
And not
so much. Well, I guess a little bit in Scream 3.
That's something that I think the audience is always going to be cognizant of when you make a horror that's really grounded. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to make these characters that feel like real people. If you're doing that, then naturally you have to assume that any character that survives is going to have PTSD like a real person would.
Yeah.
And so I think that that was kind of a cool way to end this one. So yeah, I think they're all dead. It's just she's always going to think that they're still going to come get her.
Yeah.
And that's really sad.
Yeah.
That poor girl. Like, I don't know. Her character just broke my heart. Her realizing her mom is dead and they just had that fight before, and just emotionally, that's really upsetting to me. The idea that, like, oh my God, she thought I hated her.
Oh yeah, and she blames herself too.
She blames herself. She's like, if I wasn't so shitty, if I didn't have to be sent off to boarding school, we wouldn't be here. And like, man, like it's too real, you know?
Yeah,
it's a little too real for me, I think. Yeah.
Strangers Pray at Night. I liked it.
I liked it.
I think. I'm curious to hear what you have to say about it. And also in regards of like, did you like the original and did you like this one? Because I could see it both ways. Someone loving the original and hating this because it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
Someone liking both. I could see someone hating the original because it's too slow and it's like, oh, this one really picks up the action because it's way more kinetic and like way more action-y, a lot more movement. I think they're both fine in their own right. I think the original is a like really like classic of a horror film.
I think it's the case where both of them are pretty good, therefore the first one has to be the better one because there's no reason for the second one to be better. I think it's just the first one's the original.
Would you say that with like Alien and Aliens? You like Alien?
I like Alien better. Yeah.
For me it's a draw. I think that they're both. And like maybe Alien says, I don't know. It's hard. I guess that's kind of a fair comparison with these two. Like not as extreme as Alien and Aliens.
Yeah, this is not like Annals of Film History type film. But
it's the same kind of thing. The first one's a quieter.
That's true.
Slower horror
film. This one's more of an action-y.
Yeah.
That's a completely fair comparison. So if you're wondering what to expect from this movie, besides the whole plot that we just spoiled, so it's like SAT style. The Strangers is to Alien as The Strangers Pray at Night is to Aliens.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair comparison.
I feel like an SAT comparison is a great way to go out on. Make sure you watch The Strangers Kill Count if you haven't already. And make sure that if you're watching this on Dead Meat, like the video on the channel, make sure you subscribe to Dead Meat Podcast.
Yeah.
It should be. I know that you want it on Spotify. We've submitted it.
We submitted it to Spotify.
It's out of our hands now.
It's in the hands of Spotify, so they got...
Yeah, Mr. Spotify needs to approve our podcast.
I've heard that Spotify is a lot pickier in terms of what podcasts they host, so I think it takes a little longer.
Okay, well, hopefully we, pass the muster. Is that the right phrase?
Am I saying that right? The smell test?
We can do that, too. also made a reference to that in Leprechaun. Wow, you're just preempting all my jokes. Wow.
But yeah, please subscribe to our podcast if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you only listen to the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yeah. And then rate the podcast, review it on iTunes. Just leave a little review. Say, hey, these two are pretty cool.
Yeah, and episodes will come out every Tuesday. Again, this was just like a little treat, a little bonus.
Mm-hmm.
They're also not always going to be on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, although people are asking for it. We'll figure something out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We're new at this.
We're new at podcasts, mm-hmm. but we're good at YouTube. Follow Dead Meat on social media at Dead Meat James. That's on Twitter and Instagram. I've been posting stuff more often, so hit that up.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea?
DeadMeatPod@gmail.com if you want to email the podcast about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at Carebeck on Twitter. It's CareBecc. Same on Instagram. And I'm Chelsea Rebecca Cosplay on Facebook if you want to look at my sewing stuff.
Yeah. And then my personal Twitter and Instagram are James A. Janice. You should know how to spell it. It's in the lower third every fucking video. And heads up, the Twitter is very political. So if you want to avoid that. Yep, hurts
like,
too.
Just don't go there if you don't
just
want
don't
it.
Don't go there if you don't want it. But Dead Meat James is pretty apolitical for the most part. Yeah, thanks for watching and or listening.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you come back for more. Tuesday is Wishmaster.
You'll
be a good one. You'll be a real good one. And we'll actually have movie clips in that one, right?
Yes.
Can't do that with this, obviously, because it's in theaters. But
yeah.
Cool. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.